The Old Testament reading is found in Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And of those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. If I were to take a poll this morning and ask each one of you, so what's your favorite Bible passage? I wonder which one you'd list. Actually, over the years, I've done that a number of times with groups, and I find that three passages come up more than others. One of them is the Lord's Prayer. One of them is John 3:16, God so loved the world. And the third one is Psalm 23. Since the appointed psalm for the day is Psalm 23, I'm going to invite you to hear it again, maybe more carefully, more deeply than you've listened to it before. Actually, I'd like to have it read to you now. I'm going to read it to you in a slightly different version. And I'd like you to listen to it as if you're hearing it for the first time. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Many people like this psalm because it talks about green grass and quiet water, and it makes them feel mellow. But this psalm is much more than a soothing getaway. I think that God is here teaching us about ourselves and about our relationship with Him. It teaches us how to navigate life's dark valleys, and there's plenty of those. And it teaches us how to find our most deep and wonderful joy. The picture God uses to do that is a picture of a flock of sheep and a shepherd. And right away, that's a problem. Because much of what this psalm talks about is totally foreign to us. I think there are probably just a handful of you who have had direct experience taking care of sheep. Nita Hoops, I'm sure. Maybe Harry and Linda Schlieff. Maybe a few others. When our younger generation of people daydream, it's not about tending sheep. They might be thinking about their soccer matches or a funny post that somebody put on a cell phone or getting their learner's permit or attending the next concert or hanging with their friends. But sheep? Shepherds? What's that about? So we better do some explaining. The first thing God teaches us in the psalm is that we humans are very like sheep. And that's not a compliment. I've talked to people who raise sheep, and I have it on good authority that they are smelly and stupid animals. They can't defend themselves. They get easily confused and lost, so you could sum it up by saying they're helpless and vulnerable. I read in a book an author talking about an encounter that he had with a flock of sheep one day, and I quote, "They raised foolish, worried heads to me as I walked down a country road. to be honest, I didn't like them very much. Their very vulnerability made me want to rush at them and tease them and send them into a confusion. Now, that may not be a very nice way to approach sheep, but I think we can relate to how he apprised those sheep. Vulnerable, foolish, worried, ripe for terrible confusion. That's a pretty good description of a lot of us. Sheep-like experiences. My roof leaks, and I don't have money to fix it right away. Oh, and the worry and confusion begin. Bah, bah. Our children grow up, and they begin to do foolish things that baffle us, and we get alternately angry and then frightened. Bah. Meanwhile, our bodies are growing older and weaker. We fall down and hurt ourselves. Then something else goes wrong, and we start saying, "Oh, old age isn't for sissies," and we start. We really are like lost sheep in the valley of the shadow of death a whole lot of times. But actually, being a sheep is even worse than that. What sets most sheep apart mostly from other animals is the tendency of a sheep to wander away and get absolutely lost. The Bible uses this metaphor, this picture of sheep, so often because that's a good description of the way we are, the way we wander away in our stubbornness and stupidity and sin and get lost. The Bible says that sin is separation from God. That means getting lost from God and from other people. It's wandering away either casually or willfully into disobedience. And I have to tell you that for a sheep back in those days, separation from the flock and the shepherd was usually fatal. There were predators like bears, and yes, in those days, lions in the Holy Land, that caught and killed stray sheep. Wandering sheep would sometimes fall into steep ravines that crisscrossed the desert. Actually, I saw on Facebook the other day a video of a guy trying to pull a sheep out of a ravine. He got it out, and the sheep ran right back in. And even if they survived those perils, most sheep could not find enough food in that barren land, and without help, they would starve to death. It's the same way with us humans. Separation from God is always fatal. The wages of sin is death. Well, we hear it, we say we believe it, but we go ahead and sin anyway, ignoring the warnings of our conscience and the pleadings of people around us who care about us enough to warn us. Like stupid sheep, we scramble after temptations that beckon us. We nourish grudges. We wear ourselves out to accumulate more stuff and then more stuff. We relish hearing delicious morsels of gossip. Tell me more. We tell smooth lies to hide our own wrongdoing. And that's not just a few of us. Not just the black sheep. That's all of us. All we like sheep. All we. Pastor too. Wandering off toward the wolf that is waiting to eat us up. Well, that's the first lesson. How'd you like that? We're like sheep. That's a sobering thought. And there's a second lesson. And it's a more comforting thought by far. God is a shepherd. For the sheep in Israel, the shepherd was the difference between life and death. The psalm has a fascinating sequence of phrases that is sort of like a job description for a shepherd. I'd like to mention each one and say a little bit more about it. He leadeth me in paths. The shepherd carried a map in his head of where everything was. Every watering place, every patch of grass, everything the sheep needed, he knew where it was. It was in a map in his head. He leadeth me to that place, since I don't know where to find it. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Not just a couple of sticks. The rod was actually a weapon. It was a club with a large rock or a hunk of metal at the end that the shepherd had to swing and bash a predator or bash a poacher to protect the flock. It was essential. The staff was a walking stick that served as a prod. If a sheep was lagging and they lagged, you poke them. Get move on, sheep. Some of those had a curve or a crook at the end, and that was useful because if a sheep was down beyond my reach, I might reach that down, grab a hold around its belly, and pull it up. The shepherd's crook. My cup runneth over. Well, that takes some explaining. In the evening, the shepherd became a veterinarian. He actually carried two different kinds of cups. One of them was really a pot that contained a mixture of olive oil and cedar tar, which was a rude sort of salve for wounds, because he had to doctor his own sheep. At the end of the day, if he found one that had torn its flesh somehow, wounded itself, he had to smear that on. The other that he carried was a cup with a potion made of honey, wine, and lemon juice, which served as a restorative drink for a weak or malnourished sheep. Drink up. And when we say, my cup runneth over, that's what we're talking about. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Every nightfall, the shepherd erected a pen to enclose his animals while he got to sleep. He himself had to stand at the entrance because usually sheep and goats pastured together during the day, but at night he had to separate them. So at the entrance, he would place himself like this, spread his legs apart so it made a little door, and then each sheep came between his legs. And if there was a goat, he said, nope, you get over there. The sheep came in, the goat's over there, and then he put the closing to the entrance to the pen. And that was the night. When Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep, that's what he was meaning. You have to pass through me to get there. Now, the first listeners to the psalm knew all of this. They could picture them all when they heard about sheep and shepherds better than we can. Again and again in the Bible, this is the picture that was applied to God, and it was a reminder of his hard work, his seeking love, his constant vigilance as he protected his people. In the New Testament, Jesus applies it directly to himself. I am the good shepherd. Notice, the good shepherd. There are other kinds. I'm the good one. I came to seek and to save the lost. I am the door of the sheep. Indeed, the Gospels are really the story of how Psalm 23 came true literally. That shepherd appeared, he came searching for us, and finally laid down his life to rescue us from the wolf. So that's the second lesson. God is a shepherd. In the person of Jesus, he came into the world seeking. And that's the very title, by the way, that we give to pastors. I'm a pastor, Pastor Morris, Pastor Schomburg, pretty soon Pastor Brubaker. The word pastor is a Latin word that means shepherd. That's all, shepherd. Actually, far from being a shepherd, I think of myself over the years more as a sheepdog. I was running around barking, trying to keep them all close to the shepherd. We are sheep, God's the shepherd, But there's a third lesson in this psalm, the most important one of all, tied to a particular word, a two-letter word. I didn't read, "The Lord is a shepherd." I read, "The Lord is my shepherd." Mine. Yours. And that's the question. Is he? Years ago, in a town north of London, England, a famous actor came to town to perform his repertoire and exhibit his wonderful baritone voice. The crowds were very appreciative. They did a lot of clapping. It was great. Toward the end of his performance, someone in the crowd asked him if he would do a reading from the Bible, suggesting Psalm 23 might be a good one to read. Everybody said, "Yeah, that's good." So the actor took the Bible. He enunciated each phrase beautifully, and at the end, there came a spirited applause. Oh, that was so good. At the moment he was ending, an old man with whitened hair stood up and was about to go home, and someone said, "Hey, that's the pastor. Hey, pastor, come here." So he turned around, and they brought the pastor forward, and several from the town asked that actor, they said, "Could we have our pastor read it too?" "Well, of course," said the actor, and he handed him the Bible. And so the psalm was heard again. This time, there was a hush that fell over the room as with a trembling voice the old man read it once more. But this time, instead of applause, there were tears on many faces. A little while later, as the actor and his companion went home, the companion asked him, "What made the difference anyway?" The actor said, "Well, I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." So what about you? You all know the psalm? Some of you have memorized it. How well, how close do you know the shepherd? Because which of us here today in church hasn't wandered off in our stupidity and our sin? Which of us here today doesn't get so lost sometimes that we don't even know what right and wrong might be anymore? And how crucial to find that he leads us in righteous paths, that he restores our souls. And which of us sitting here is not beaten down and exhausted by life or chronic pain, and sometimes want to give up? We need him to lift to our lips the cup that runs over with his soothing grace. And which of us will not find ourselves, sooner or later, in that valley of the shadow of death? I live there all the time. Some of you do too. Which of us won't find ourselves in the face of that panic and that dread of something that we haven't experienced yet? So how urgent to take a hold of the promise, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Because he is, you know. He comes very near to us this morning, calls us through his word, seeks us to follow him and to love him. So my simple message to you today is, listen for the voice of your shepherd. Confess to him your sins and your fears and your wounds and let him heal them. Trust his pardon. Stay close to him always. And he will enable you to say with certainty, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." A wonderful psalm, isn't it? Especially when you know the shepherd like he knows you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.